This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
No problem? No? We won't take that at it. All right, bismillah. So, Al-Kareem is the name of Allah subhanahu wa
ta'ala. Al-Kareem. Do you know anybody named Abdul Kareem?
No.
Yes?
Yeah.
Anybody here named Abdul Kareem? That's rare. Do you know somebody named Kareem without the Abd in the front?
Yes?
Yes? Anybody famous?
No.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Okay. Interesting here. Is it okay for a person to just call themselves Kareem and not Abdul Kareem? Yes? No? Oh, maybe we forgot.
Yes.
So the issue here is if the description, right, if the name means something that is befitting for a human being, then it is okay for a person to call himself with that name, especially when we have evidence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calling some of his servants that or describing them in the Rasulun Kareem, right? He described the angel Jibreel as being a noble messenger, right? Or an honorable messenger. And that's why Al-Kareem, even though most of the time you see it translated as what?
Generous,
right? The more proper translation would be the honorable, okay? Or the noble. Because one who is Kareem, actually what we're talking about in general is that one is intrinsically noble. And from that person's honorable character, they give freely. They're generous. That's part, that is one of the manifestations of their honorable character. All right? But as we'll see, inshallah, as we go along, both of them are okay. Both of those translations are fine. So if you said the generous, if you said the one who is honorable, both of those are fine, bidnillahi ta'ala, as we'll see. Okay, so Al-Kareem. Now, we're claiming that this is a name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What's the first thing we have to start with? Evidence. And why is that? And what is evidence anyway? What are we talking about when we say evidence? Are we talking about hypotheses and Dalil? Okay, that's just a translation. Proof. What are we talking? What is proof?
Revelation.
Revelation. We only know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through what He has revealed to us, because laysa kamithlihi shay. There is nothing that is like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what we know about Allah is what He has told us about Himself. And He didn't tell us those things about Himself except that we ponder over those meanings. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنِ. That's one of the Quran was revealed so that we could ponder over it. And one of the most important aspects of the Quran, in fact, it is the ultimate reason for His revelation, is to know Allah. We know Him through His names and attributes, which is why it is very difficult, yani, to read through the Quran. Almost ayah after ayah, you'll find those ayat finishing with the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first thing that we want to look at is evidence. How do we know that this is in fact a name of Allah? Naam, Sheikh.
Bilingli. He who had knowledge from the book said, I will bring it to you before your glance returns to you. And when Sulaiman alayhisalam saw it set before him, he said,
okay, time out. When reading the Quran, and this is actually common in the Arabic language, one of the things you always want to pay attention to is the dhamair, the pronouns. Because you will not understand speech unless you understand the pronouns. So here, he who had knowledge from the book said. Now, who is the he here?
No.
Not Sulaiman.
It's one of the workers of Sulaiman.
Okay, who are the workers of Sulaiman? Who did Sulaiman have control over? He had control over the jinn. Okay. He who had knowledge of the scripture said, I will bring it to you before your glance returns to you. What is he talking about?
Of
the sister, huh? Of Bill Keys. Now. That was good. MashaAllah. Okay. So, no, I just want you to take this all, because honestly, it's difficult to understand the total picture without, you know, without that kind of context. Okay, so that jinn who had knowledge of the scripture said, I'll bring it to you. I'll bring to you the throne of Bilqis before your glance returns to you. Yani, in other words, yani, before the blink of an eye. Before the blink of an eye. Now, go ahead.
And when Sulaiman alayhi salam saw it set before him, he said, this is from the grace of my Lord to test whether I am grateful or not. If anyone is grateful, it is for his own good. But if anyone is ungrateful, my Lord is self-sufficient, ghani and generous, kareem.
Okay. This is from the grace of my Lord to test whether I am grateful or not. Right? He says, "Qal hadha min fadli Rabbi liyabluwani ashkuru am akfur." Am akfur. What does akfur mean? To disbelieve. Okay. Or it can mean to be ungrateful, right? Because kufr, at the end of the day, it means to be ungrateful. And one who has disbelieved, that is, rejected his creator, that is the ultimate form of ingratitude. Okay? Is that one totally rejects their creator. Which is why kufr, or one of the reasons why kufr is called, or disbelief is kufr. But they say, the linguists say, that the word in English, cover, actually comes from the Arabic kufr. Because kafara actually means to ghatti, to cover something. Kafara. It means to cover it up. Right? What do you know what a farmer in Arabic is called? Falah. And he's also called a kafir. Yeah. Farmer is called a kafir. He covers up the earth. Puts the seeds in and covers up the earth. I remember in very early in my studies, I was in the third level in the Arabic program. And the teacher was asking the students what their parents do for a living. So the one guy said that his father was a falah. He said, nah, I'm a book kafir. As you can imagine, that started some problems in the classroom. But that'll make you never forget that a farmer is a kafir. Right. All right. So here, he said, Ashkuru am akfur. Will I be grateful or not? If anyone is grateful, it's for his own good. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not benefit from our obedience. His kingdom does not grow because we've given for his cause. Anything that we do in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and showing our gratitude to him is for our own good. And if anyone is ungrateful, know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ghaniyun kareem. Okay, he is ghani, that is, he is self-sufficient, and he is kareem, he is generous, he is noble, subhanahu wa ta'ala. The word or the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, kareem, al-kareem, has been mentioned twice in the Quran. So that's the first place in Surah An-Naml, 27th chapter of the Quran, 40th verse. In the second place, Ya ayyuhal insan, ma gharraka bi rabbika al-kareem. Naam, follow Shaykh Iqra.
Oh mankind, what has deceived you away from your Lord, the most generous.
Okay. What does that mean? What does that mean? What has lured you away deceived you regarding your Lord, the most generous, Al-Kareem. Well, if you look back at the previous ayat, وَإِذَا الْكُبُورُ بُعْثِرَتْ, what's that mean? When the graves are moved, shaken, opened, people have to come out, right? عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ وَأَخَّرَتْ, every soul will know that which it has put forward and what was left behind, if you will. They'll see in front of them their obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and their disobedience, that which they failed to do. And so then it will be said to them, Ya ayyuhal insan, or said to mankind, what has made you careless? What has deceived you regarding your Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala? So this is actually, it's not looking for a reply here. There's no attempt to get a reply. It's simply showing that some people are deceived by the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so generous. So they disobey him and he still gives them. And then they think, well, if I was so bad, you know, Allah would have cut me off, put me in check. Everything must be okay. And they get deceived by the fact that Allah is so generous that he's still going to give, even when a person is not living right, even when a person is being disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he still may give them. And the people who are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will recognize that, and they'll turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because they're shy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still giving them even though they don't deserve it, right? It's sort of like somebody hires you to do a job, okay? Let's just say, give me a job, any job. Paint, Mumtaz, excellent. Somebody came and they hired you to paint the masjid, okay? You already feel kind of funny, like, should I be taking money to paint the masjid? Okay, but, all right. You agree to paint the masjid. Okay. So you start painting the masjid. And then halfway down the road, you came through something. You found another job was a little better. And you just kind of explained, listen, this is the deal. They said, no problem. We're going to pay you for the whole job, even though you only did half of it. How do you feel? A lot of people say, I can't accept that. I don't feel right taking that because I didn't finish the job, right? Similarly, a person who knows that they're not living right and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just still showering them with blessings, the believer is going to say, you know what? I got to get myself together. This doesn't feel right, accepting all this from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I'm not living right. So the believer gets their act together. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's karam, his generosity towards them, brings them back. It puts them back on the right path. But the person who's not living right, ya ayyuhal insan, ma gharraka bi rabbika al-kareem, that person is going to be deceived by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's karam. The same way that a person feels like, oh, I can only do half the job, I'm going to get over on them, and I'm going to go get over on somebody else. So they get deceived by the generosity. You understand how that works? Okay. Tell you. There's another ayah in the Quran, in Surah Al-Mu'minun. فَتَعَالَ اللَّهُ الْمَلِكُ الْحَقِّ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ رَبُّ الْعَرْشِ Al-Kareem. Al-Kareem what? Al-Kareemu, Al-Kareemi, Al-Kareema. Who's studying Accessible Arabic? Anybody in 1C? That's where they start the I'rab, right, Sheikh? 1B they start the I'rab? Allahu Akbar. Okay. So what's happening at the end of a word? What determines the syntax of the Arabic language? The ending. The ending what? Ending vowel. The ending diacritical mark in general. The ending haraka of the word, but there can be some difference. But the point is what? If you say Rabbul Arshil Kareemi, what is Kareem describing? The throne, the Arsh. Rabbul Arshi Al Kareemi. So it's describing the throne. But if, which is the majority of the Qurra. Okay, there's one qira'ah, one mode of reciting the Quran, where it's Rabbul Arshil Kareemu. And that's describing Ar-Rabb. Okay? And both of them are correct. But the majority of the qira'ah say Rabbul Arshil Kareemi. And so that's why most of the scholars would say that the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Kareem, is mentioned twice in the Quran. And some will say three times because of that ayah. طيب. The hadith also, which is revelation, in huwa illa wahyun yuha. The hadith is revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Salman radiallahu anhu qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna rabbakum hayyun kareem. Inna rabbakum hayy. كريم يستحي من عبده إذا رفع إليه يديه أن يردهما سفرا. نعم شيخ.
Salman al-Farisi radiallahu anhu narrated that the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, your Lord is Hayy.
Hayy.
You want me to translate? I'll let you translate.
No, go ahead.
the ever living.
لا ليس من ال من الحياتي وإن من الحياة. Right.
And Kareem, honorable or generous, according to Dr. Thaddeus, would like to say.
No, not just me. You'll see. It's not my. I'm not saying anything.
When a slave raises his hands in supplication to Allah, he, meaning Allah, is shy to let them fall empty. The four imams, except Al-Nasa'i.
So who are the four imams? Abu Hanifa. Come on. Imam Malik. Shafi. Except that we're talking about hadith.
You guys begin with Al-Hanif, Abu Hanifa.
I understand what I did. Now, every genre has its istilahat, has its terminology, right? So if you go to a restaurant and you ask for cookies, what are you talking about? What are cookies? Something that you eat, dessert. Anybody have any cookies on them? Anybody, so we can all look and you can share. All right. But if you're talking to an IT specialist and you talk about cookies, what are we talking about? Those files in your computer. They say, we do cookies, do you accept, right? Then, right? Okay, come on, guys.
Yes, that's right.
This is not rocket science. All right. So, every field has its terminology. When we're talking about hadith, and we're talking about the four, when they say the four imams for here, the four books, we're talking about what? No, not Bukhari. Huh? Sunan Abi Dawud, At-Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, and Nasa'i. No, Bukhari and Muslim, that's if you say the six books of hadith. If you talk about the four, then you're referring to those four. So, this hadith was narrated by Abu Dawud, At-Tirmidhi, and Ibn Majah. So the four imams except An-Nasa'i. And it was graded authentic by a number of scholars of hadith, including Imam Hakim and Sheikh Albani. Rahimahumullahu jami'an. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on all of them. So, in this hadith, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam described Allah as being hayy, and he described him as being kareem. He said that when a slave raises his hands in supplication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what's happening when you raise your hands? Or what happens when somebody's begging? What do they do? They stick their hand out. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is shy and he's generous. So if someone sticks their hand out, he's shy that it would return empty, that it would return empty. And this is a deep concept. Wallahi, it's a deep concept. And since it's not that far, you know, from a historical standpoint, it just happened 6 weeks ago. What is Charitable Tuesday? Matter of fact, today is a Tuesday, so it was actually about 6 weeks ago, precisely. What is Charitable Tuesday? Oh, come on. What's it called? Isn't it Charitable Tuesday? Okay. Oh, you're going to answer? Go ahead. What is it? It's an offshoot of Cyber Monday. Well, when did Cyber Monday come up? What's before Cyber Monday? Black Friday. What do people do on Black Friday? Oh, they shop. They shop a whole lot. And they buy a lot of stuff they probably don't even need. Right? Just because it's on sale. And then let's hit them with Cyber Monday. Spend some more money we probably didn't need to spend. And then on Monday night, you start feeling a little guilty, huh? Spending. I'm indulging. These people out there that's starving and these orphans and all this other stuff. And I spend all this money I really didn't need to spend. And then Tuesday comes around. Charitable Tuesday. They hit you up. They play on that guilt. And they say, well, you know what? You can make it all right. Everything you just messed up on Friday and Monday, you can make it all right on Tuesday. Just give a little, give something. Give to your favorite charity. Make yourself feel better. Why? Because now on Tuesday when people are asking, you feel a little shy not to give. You feel shy not to give because you obviously had something because you just spent the whole lot. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, lahul mathalul a'la, to him belongs the greatest example. He's kareem. He's generous. And he has everything. And he owns everything. So he's shy that a servant would raise his or her hands to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that he would withhold. That's why it's so important that we make dua and that we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in dua and that we turn away from the creation to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, so we get an idea of what kareem means, even though we're just dealing with evidence so far. Time is up. All right. We'll take our time. Taif, Father Sheikh.
Meaning of al-kareem, the honorable one who gives without measure. His generosity encompasses, means it takes in, it's over all, the entire creation. Even those who are ungrateful for his blessings and use them to disobey him. Al-Kareem gives and takes nothing in return.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
That's the meaning?
I don't know. Allahu Akbar. Tayyib, is that understood? This is Al-Kareem. La ilaha illallah. Naam, Sheikh.
From the root, kaf, raw, mean, which has the following connotations. To be generous, giving, beneficent, intrinsically, that means way on the inside, part of this.
Part of the essence of that thing, right.
Mm-hmm. Intrinsically honorable, noble, good, virtuous.
All right, so these two meanings, in fact, are the two meanings that Ibn Faris and Muqayis al-Lugha, which I talked about before, these are the two meanings primarily that he deals with. Maqayis al-Lugha, I mentioned before, was one of the best Arabic dictionaries for dealing with etymology. So when we want to deal with the roots of words and what this word goes back to and where other words that have a similar ishtiqaq, variations of that word, where they all go back to, these are the two meanings that he primarily deals with. So one is the intrinsic nature of something, that it is honorable, that it has sharaf, okay, that it's noble and that it's honorable. And then the other one deals with character, how it interacts with other things, okay? So these are the two different things we're looking at. We're looking at what? Essence and we're looking at interaction, right? This is similar to how when we talked about Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. Now, and then the third one.
To be excellent, precious, valuable.
Okay, so they call, for example, diamonds, rubies, gold and silver, in fact. What do we call those in English? Precious metals. Right. They actually call al-ahjar or al-ma'adin al-karima, al-ahjar al-karima in the Arabic language, okay? To refer to them being precious, valuable. Yes.
Hence, karam is not limited to the prevalent or prevalent, but prevalent.
Okay, prevailing concept.
Concept or understanding of generosity.
Okay, so most of the time we think of generosity, we think of someone giving. We're not thinking of it as a, as an intrinsic character, trait. Okay? So if we look at, for example, and just so that we understand this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the Quran as being Kareem. Innahu laQuranun Kareem. As-Sa'di rahimahullah ta'ala said when explaining that ayah, he said, "Ay kathirul khayri ghazirul ilm." Kathirul khayri ghazirul ilm. That it has many, that it has much good, okay, and that it is dripping with knowledge. Ghazir, right? Ghazirul ilm, okay, full of knowledge and goodness. فَكُلُّ خَيْرٍ وَعِلْمٍ فَإِنَّمَا يُسْتَفَادُ مِنْ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ وَيُسْتَنْبَطُ مِنْ all good and all knowledge is benefited from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and extracted from it. Even the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, which explains the Quran. Obviously, the asal of that ilm is in the Quran. طيب ماشي.
Meaning of Al-Kareem, number two, Al-Khattabi, Rahimullah, said, Al-Kareem is the one who initiates, who begins the blessing before it is actually deserved, and gives liberally, donates even, without seeking a reward or really any type of compensation.
All right, let's stop there. Okay, so Al-Kareem is the one who does what? Initiates the blessing. He gives it to you before you deserve it, before you even ask for it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you blessings. Al-Kareem. Alright. And when he gives, he's not seeking any compensation. He wants nothing in return. He gives without... Now, it's interesting. Because even the person who is Kareem, if they give, they want something in return. Even if it's reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's still something that they want back. I want something from this. I want that my reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which is an interesting concept, by the way. And Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha mentioned this. And that is that if somebody says, for example, to you, what do I owe you? You had no intention of doing whatever you did for them for any compensation, and you say, make dua for me, then you are in fact asking for compensation. من قال جزاك الله خيرا فقد أبلغ في الثناء. Right? The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever says جزاك الله خيرا, then that person has exaggerated, if you will, in praising you, in rewarding you. Even the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, whoever does ma'ruf to you, whoever does any form of good to you, fakafi'u, then compensate them. Give it back to them. And if you can't give it back to them, then make dua for them until you feel like you paid them back. So dua is actually a form of compensation. So if you ask somebody, if you do good for somebody, and they say, well, how much do you need for that? And you say, just make dua for me, then that's your compensation. So don't even say that. Don't even say, make dua for me. Say, la nuridu minkum jaza'an wa la shukura. I don't want any reward from you. No thanks. Huh? Wala shukura. I don't want you to say shukran to me. You might say shukran if somebody does something good to you, jazakallah khairan, that type of thing. What I'm saying is, if somebody says, what do I owe you? No. You don't say, I didn't want any reward from you, and no thanks. I didn't do it for that. Okay? Which is an important concept. And the reason why the Prophet ﷺ instructed us to do what? To pay them back if they do good for you is so that what? Because that's from good manners. That's part of it. But why? Because the heart gets attached to the one who does good to it. And Allah wants your heart to be attached to him and him alone. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So pay them back so that the heart... So I don't have, me and you, we're on good terms, but I don't owe you anything. And leave my heart solely for its creator, subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Is that related to when it says, if you ask, ask Allah?
Yes. If you ask, ask Allah, which is going to come, inshallah. It's going to come. Not exactly that hadith, but it's going to come. Tayyib. So here, this is Al-Kareem. Now, Al-Khattabi goes on to talk about Al-Jawad. Fadal, Shaykh.
This is different from Al-Jawad.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's nowhere in the Quran no ayah in the Quran that refers to Allah as being Al-Jawad. But that isn't a hadith, which many of the scholars of hadith say is authentic. Others do not deem it as being authentic. So there is actually a difference about whether Al-Jawad is in fact the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala based on the authenticity of that hadith and how the scholar of hadith grades it. Now, this is different from Al-Jawad, right?
For Al-Jawad, he is the one who gives more than he is asked when he is asked.
Right, so Al-Jawad is the one who is asked for something. For when he is asked for something, he gives much more than what a person asks for. Okay? So, for example, someone comes and they say to you, can I borrow $100 till I get paid? No, not only do you let them, you don't even let them borrow anything. So you give them $200. That's Al-Jawad. Hey, here's $200. Take it. That's Al-Jawad, who gives more than what was asked for. And that's all the time. And Allah is definitely Al-Jawad in that sense, whether you believe the hadith is authentic or not. Allah always gives us more than what we ask for. Because we don't even know what to ask for half the time. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us much more than what we even know, you know, knew that we needed. Now, Al-Kareem.
Al-Kareem is one who gives even before being asked.
Right. So we understand the difference between Al-Jawad, which you could translate as the magnanimous. Right? Giving much. Now.
Al-Ghazali. Stated that the Kareem.
No shadda on the Zay.
Yeah,
Al-Ghazali.
I've seen it both ways, actually.
Wallah. 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 Al-Ghazali.
I said
in English. Yeah. Al-Ghazali. Saw with two Z's, huh? Not with a shadda. Go ahead.
Al-Ghazali stated that the Kareem is one who forgives even when he has the power.
Even when, you see, it's very easy to forgive when you can't do anything about it anyway. Oh, I forgave him. You didn't forgive him. You can't do anything about it. Yeah, go ahead.
He fulfills his promises and exceeds the limits one could hope for when he gives. He is not concerned with how much he gives.
Right. That is what some of the scholars of the past have said about Al-Kareem. Now, I want you to listen to this ayah from Surah Al-Buruj. Inna alladhina fatanu al-mu'minina wal-mu'minat. Inna alladhina fatanu al-mu'minina wal-mu'minat. What does that mean? Just that part.
Those who put the believers to a trial.
Right. Those who persecuted the believing men and the believing women. How did they persecute them? They were burning them. They were putting them in the pit and burning them. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَتَنُوا الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَتُوبُوا. And then they don't what? and then they don't repent, they don't make tawbah, they don't turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, falahum adabu jahannam, for them is the punishment of jahannam, the fire or hell. Walahum adabul hariq, and for them is the punishment of burning flames. Okay? Tayyib. Or Jahannam is burning flames. Al-Hariq is a fire. Tayyib. Listen to what Al-Hasan Al-Basri rahimahullah ta'ala says. He says, انظروا إلى هذا الكرم والجود قتلوا أولياءه وهو يدعوهم إلى التوبة والمغفرة. He says, look at this kindness and generosity from Allah. These people have killed his allies, his awliya, his close friends. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still calls them to make tawbah. And still invites them to his forgiveness. La ilaha illallah. Yani, this is the extent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's karam, his generosity, his honor in his essence, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fadl Sheikh.
In the Greek, of manifestations of Allah's karam, that means the ways that it is shown and seen. Allah has honored mankind. In Surah Al-Isra, which is the 17th surah and 17th verse, in the English translation of the meanings has, we have honored the children of Adam and carried them on land and the sea and provided them with good things and greatly favored them over many of those we created.
Now,
in the 62nd verse of the same surah, Allah's translation of the meanings says, he said, do you see this one whom you have honored more than me? If you reprieve me until the day of resurrection, I will bring his descendants under my sway, except for a few.
So even Shaitan recognized that man was honored over him. That man has been given honor. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in fact honored the children of Adam, as many of the scholars of tafsir say, by giving the human being intellect, by giving the human being that capacity to choose, that this is an honor, in fact, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how Allah azza wa jalla has distinguished us and dignified us. If we use that free will that we have, and we use our intellects in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we are, in fact, honored. Then we are in fact honored. Inna akramakum karam. Inna akramakum, the most honorable from amongst you, are who? Atqakum, those who have the most taqwa. So that's that scale, right? Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. So this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored the children of Adam, by giving them that capacity to worship Him. By giving them intellect, the ability to think, the ability to ponder. If we use that, we use these abilities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us to lie, to kill, to cheat, to be rude, to be unjust, then we are dishonoring ourselves. Then we are turning away from al-karam. All right? Nah.
Manifestations of Allah's karam. As-salah.
Okay, as-salah. We're just going to go through this quickly, inshallah ta'ala, because there's a lot of ways that we can talk about this. But salah in and of itself is a manifestation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's generosity. And that comes from many different ways. But let's just look at it like this. How many times a day do you pray? Well, let me rephrase that. How many times a day at least should a Muslim pray? Five, because I don't want you to talk about what you're doing. Inshallah, you're praying 20 times a day. Tell you, so at least 5 times a day, right? But how much are you rewarded for? It's as if you pray how many times? 50 times. That's generosity. That's generosity that you would come Pray five times, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you as if you prayed 50 times. Now, let's go beyond that. If you're sitting in the masjid, waiting for prayer, what's happening? You're getting rewarded as if you're in prayer. And the angels are saying, Allahumma gfirlah, Allahumma arhamhu. Oh Allah, have mercy on him. Oh Allah, forgive him. Right? All because you did what? Because you prayed. All because you prayed. So there's a lot of manifestations, not to mention the spiritual health that is gained from prayer. That closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have made these acts of worship mundane acts that have no benefit if he wanted to. Do it because he's the master. But we in fact benefit from our obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's one thing. Forgiveness. How is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's karam manifested in forgiveness? How is it man? Well, there's multiple ways, but let's just look at one way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when forgiving some of his servants, yubaddilu Allahu sayyi'atihim hasanat. He turns their bad deeds into good deeds. That is absolutely amazing. That is absolutely amazing as a sign of forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or that when he forgives someone, that he turns their bad deeds into good deeds. That's karam. Paradise. Paradise. How is that a manifestation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's karam? That is the ultimate manifestation of his karam. Seeing his face subhanahu wa ta'ala in paradise. But think of that hadith. Think of that hadith of the person who there was no one ashaddu minhu bu'san fi dunya. No one had a more difficult time in this life than this particular individual from the people of paradise. Think about it now. I mean, have you seen some people who have hit hard times? Well, describe him for me. How does that look to you? What's his home look like? No, he doesn't have one. Okay. What are his clothes like? Tattered. Okay, that's good. What about his shoes? Hand-me-downs. What about his shoes? Maybe he doesn't even have any. What else? Does he have wealth?
No.
You can obviously imagine what his mental state would be. You take this person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, or the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said in the hadith, that he's dipped in Jannah. A dip. And then it's asked of him, have you ever dealt with any adversity? And he said, absolutely not. Never. I've never dealt with any adversity ever. Because just that little bit of Jannah, just that taste of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's karam, it makes him forget anything that he ever went through. Subhanallah. And so when you think about these manifestations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's karam, it should draw you closer to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, we don't have enough time to go into everything, so we keep it moving. Fadl Sheikh.
Benefits. Those who know that Allah is Al-Kareem will strive to spend time in the masjid.
Oh, come on. How? What?
Particularly the men.
All right. What is that? How? Why? What are we talking about here? What are we talking about?
Making the jama'ah in the masjid.
But what does that have to do with Allah being Al-Kareem?
Because you just said you waited for
Salah. Right. Because I just said when you're in the masjid waiting for Salah. Right, that Allah is rewarding. Okay, so let's take a step back. We call the masjid, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam referred to the masjid as being what? Huh? The house of Allah. The house of Allah. Excellent. Now, let me ask you this. And you may have You may remember we talked about this a few weeks back. Anybody in here rich?
Just raising.
Yeah, Zakaloh Khair, mashallah. I'll talk to you afterwards. We got some projects. We got some Islamic projects we need to talk to you about. All right, let's not go with rich. Anybody here know how to treat your guests? Mashallah, good. So if somebody, if I came over your house, if you invited me over your house, okay, at dinner time, and you pulled out some Ritz crackers, right, and some water, definitely some water. For the salty crackers, he said, "Here we go, man. This is the spread here. We're gonna get down." And I'm looking, we look at the rest. And whoa, where's the rest? Because I know that this person is pretty well off, right? I know that this person is well off, and they're known to be generous. So we go to their house for dinner. We're gonna have a nice meal. A few courses going on, right? But if something like that happened, you would say what? Something wrong with him. He's stingy. See, I know he got money. Why would he do that to me, right? This guy is something miserly, right? He's just okay. What about when you come to Allah's house? This is Allah's house. I want to come as much as possible. Because Allah is Al-Kareem. And I know that when I come to his house and I'm his guest, he's going to treat me well. He's going to give me more than I asked for, more than I could expect. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's house. And that's why one of the early scholars of Islam, Amr ibn Maymun, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, he was from the Tabi'een. He said, Adraktu ashab Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa hum yaqulun inna al-masajid buyutullahi fil ard wa annahu haqqun 'ala Allah an yukrima man zarahu fiha. He said, I met the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they used to say that the masajid are Allah's houses on earth. And it is Allah's duty, if you will. Haqqun ala Allah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make things aright upon himself. That he yukrim. That he honors. Man zarahu fiha. That he honors those who visit him in those houses. And so this is why one who knows that Allah is Kareem will strive to spend time in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This, if that doesn't motivate you to get up a few minutes early, go to the masjid for Fajr. Go to the masjid as much as you can. Look for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ikram. That he is going to yukrimuk. That he is going to honor you and treat you well. Because you visited his house subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm going to stop there because I went over the time that was allotted.
Nah, what was the name of that companion?
The Tabi'i, Amr ibn Maymun. Al-Audi. Amr ibn Maymun. Al-Audi, rahimahullah. And then we'll cover the rest of these benefits, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, next week and move on to another one of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's divine names. Wallahu a'lam. If you have any questions, you can ask them now, inshallah. Any questions about this name? Well, I have a question since, yes.
Can you talk about the distinction of the shyness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as opposed to how we would see it?
No. Because the question that the brother asked is, can I talk about the distinction between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's shyness and how we would view shyness? Well, the thing is, and this is as we covered previously, when we deal with any of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attributes, that the first thing that we recognize is laysa kamithlihi shay, that there's nothing that is like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the same way that we don't worry about, well, how is his generosity different? How is his mercy different? How is his love different? How is his existence different? At the end of the day, these are Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's qualities. This is what his prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, told us. And Allah azza wa jalla mentions in the Quran several times, وَاللَّهُ لَا يَسْتَحْيِي مِنَ الْحَقِّ. And Allah isn't shy of telling the truth. Allah doesn't shy away from the truth. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَحْيِي أَن يَضْرِيبَ مَثَلًا مَا بَعُودَةً فَمَا فُوقَهَا. To the end of it. So this quality Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described himself with, right? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described him with that, and he's أَعْلَمُ الْخَلْقِ بِالْخَالِقِ. He's the one, the most knowledgeable of all of the creation about the Creator. So he described Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as being shy. It's similar to how, in this sense, that companion who heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describing Allah as laughing. And he said, we'll never give up or never despair. We'll never give up hope from a Lord that laughs. Right? This is what they understood from it. Now, what we cannot ask as believers is how. Because we don't know how. We don't know how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And so therefore, knowing the attributes are of anything are a branch of knowing the essence of that thing. And we don't know that about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we don't know how. طيب والله اعلم صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك